Sportsnet 960 The Fan.
Oh, good morning. Hello. What a beautiful day in paradise it is. Welcome to the big show in the morning. Just after 6 o'clock, we're getting you going on your Thursday. Maybe you're listening on the podcast late at night. And if that's the case, this is hour one, and it's just underway. Thanks for tuning in. You can always grab the show on Google, Apple, Spotify, Amazon.
Wherever you get your podcasts.
Wherever you get your podcasts. It's like you've heard me say that before.
Kijiji. I pay attention, Matt. I'm always paying attention.
Napster.
Taking tips.
MySpace. You can find the show wherever.
Don't let Metallica know where we're on Napster.
That's a deep cut, Dumas.
Oh, big deep cut. You got to go like 20 years back now.
My name is Matt Rose. Across from me is Danny Austin. Good morning, Danny.
Good morning, Matt. How are you this morning?
I'm doing so good. Thanks for asking.
You look good.
Thank you. I feel like garbage. Patty Dumas is over in the other room. Good morning, Patty.
Good morning.
You don't feel so good, eh?
I feel average.
Yeah.
You know what? Here's how I'll put it. I have had mornings where I have felt chipper.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, today is not it.
We've seen it.
Yeah. Oh, thank you. I appreciate that. But no, today is not it. We had the Flames Charity Golf Tournament yesterday, which was a ton of fun. We were up at Country Hills. We were doing the show, talking to Blake Coleman about his sneaks and Tyler Toffoli.
I thought it was one of our better shows.
Yeah. I felt like Tyler Toffoli really was trying to get some food in him and get ready for golf. But apart from that,
I played along.
It was solid.
Yeah. I mean, we learned that none of them listened to our show on the drive-in.
Good.
Nope.
They shouldn't.
No. Very little interest in what we had to say about the sports world.
Mm-hmm.
But they joined us. They came in. They were open.
They golfed.
They golfed. Had a good time. I really, really appreciated those guys.
Yeah, so we were up at Country Hills there yesterday. I know some of the group was down at Glen Eagles, and this was for the Calgary Flames Celebrity Charity Golf Classic. They do it every single year. We always broadcast there from the morning show, and it's a ton of fun. They raise a bunch of money for the Flames Foundation, which does a lot of good work supporting a ton of local initiatives in southern Alberta. Especially through COVID, they did a lot more through COVID and kind of support programs in that sense. They've also worked with kind of homelessness and making sure people are fed and all of those types of things. So great job to the Flames Foundation. The day was immaculate. We couldn't have asked for a better day. On the weekend, I had to go buy a rain poncho because it looked like we were going to get thunderstorms, and then boom.
Where'd you buy this poncho, Matt?
Winners.
Winners, okay. Hey.
Yeah,
it's a good place to buy a poncho.
Big Winners guy. It's right below the grocery store, so sometimes if I've got extra time, I'll just go for a lap into the store and see if I can find anything.
I love that about you. What's the last great thing you found other than the poncho?
It's what you got to do at a Winners. Honestly, most of my golf gear is from Winners.
Makes sense.
Because you can get like $20 shirts that are usually $65, and they're pretty sweet usually. So a lot of golf shirts. You know the NASA hoodie I wear? That's a Winner's find.
Okay.
That checks out also. That's
completely unsurprising to me.
Marshall's is good too. I think they're under the same branding.
And HomeSense.
Really HomeSense, yeah.
Yeah, you can get your discount loofahs.
Find random like a Bundt cake pan for like $20. It's great.
So I was expecting to bust out my cool new poncho, and then I didn't have to. Just a beautiful day. But the guys were out, did a nice little town hall at the end. We saw Daryl Sutter and Brad Schliven on the stage at the same time. Daryl was very quick, in and out. Made a quick joke about his boss told him he had to be there. His reference to golf.
We sure that was a joke.
There was a chuckle after, but, you know, in the sense that you're like, oh, he probably feels that way. Yeah, that's probably fair. Good for him.
I mean, I think the best comedy is rooted in truth.
Oh, look at you. Okay. A little philosophy in the morning. Right on. Sure. Yeah, I can agree with that. So, yeah, we had a great time, raised a whole bunch of money. There was a live auction, which I always love to just sit and watch. The professionals out there, and then they had a nice silent auction, raised a whole bunch of money. So, hat tip to the Flames Foundation and everything they put on.
You put any bids in?
No.
No.
No. Nope. Was a little out of my realm. I thought about a few, and then the numbers started to get up. And then
there's always that level where you're like, especially with a silent auction, you want to put a bid in so that you look like you're participating and mm-hmm. end up for it. But then there's a level where you're like, oh, I literally can't afford this. So it's not even worth the, like, chances are someone's going to outbid me, but it's not worth it for me to take that risk because I wouldn't be paying rent.
Yeah, that was basically it. Like, okay, I could bid on this trip to the U.S. Open. This is just one of the prize packages I remember off the top of my head. They had a trip to the U.S. Open, 3 nights, and tickets to the men's final. And I was, for the price it went, I was like, well, that's
so we're talking
basically
tennis
a year's worth of... Yeah, there, okay. It was a tennis package, yeah, okay. For next year.
I thought just because
the U.S. Open
event.
Just happened.
Yes, okay.
Yeah, but golf and tennis, they kind of... They go hand in hand.
I mean, you can understand my confusion.
Yeah, of course. Sure. Yeah. Fair enough. So it's tickets to the men's final match. And I was like, well, if I bid on this, I'm not going to be able to pay rent for like 6 months. So I didn't. But it was good to see a lot of people around who had the ability and were not shy. One of the cooler things that I thought was up for auction was a game against the alumni. So you bid on it. And whoever you want, your beer league team, family, friends, whatever, you get to play a game against the Flames Alumni Association.
That's a super fun prize.
Yeah, so the guy that won it was kind of near me, and I was chatting with, I was like, so what division does your beer league team play in? Like, how are you guys going to do in this tilt? And he said that he was going to just have a great night for like his kids' hockey team and the parents and the kids and just have them out to play the alumni. And I was like, well, that's... Wow, that's...
You're a legitimate just stand-up
guy. That's a nice thing to do. Good for you. My goodness. So, yeah, overall, a lot of fun. I have some questions for you, though.
Hit me up.
Because we were up at Country Hills. They got the 36 holes. For the tournament, they had, you know, you had your drink stands at different holes. You could get some snacks. There were fish tacos at one hole and a margarita station. There was, at the halfway house, there was a guy with Schneider's dogs, there was pizza, there was burgers, and there was sushi. And I was like, that might be the weirdest thing to eat in the middle of a golf round that I've ever seen. But very high class.
Also, with sushi, I mean, you're keeping it light, right? Like, I don't know necessarily, sure. Especially if I've got drinks involved here. And mm-hmm. It's, you know, we're not too far into the drink, so I don't need something heavy to coat the stomach.
You don't know that.
I don't know that. Yeah, I mean, sushi after a bunch of drinks, I don't know is necessarily my thing. But
middle of golf.
I like the idea of, in the middle of the day, a lighter meal. And sushi tends to be lighter.
It's lighter, but it is raw fish.
Yeah,
I mean, there's a lot of booze involved.
I suppose if what we're talking about is just questioning the general idea of having sushi with alcohol, then I mean I'll hear you on that.
I think it was more the sports thing, and also like I feel like I should be sitting down at a table when I have sushi, right? Like it should be chopsticks, wasabi, soy sauce. Like if I'm doing all of that on like a little plate, and I'm sitting in a golf cart doing it over my lap. You're losing rice left, right, and center. You're spilling soy sauce
that
stain all down your nice golf fit.
When you are, let's say it's a nice Tuesday afternoon and you're making your little trip to the grocery store and then also doing a little sojourn around Winners, as we talked about. Tuesday for Matty Rose.
Mm-hmm. Usually Mondays, but as you were.
You're feeling hungry, a little peckish.
Uh-huh.
You're not just grabbing a little bit of grocery store sushi just to snack on?
No.
Well,
I usually go the gourmet sandwich route. Grab one of those $6 sandwiches, call her a day.
I'm not saying that it is good sushi, and I do want any like culprit listeners out there to hear. I'm saying the groceries.
Danny's like, man, I've got this new sushi place you have to try. It's a superstore in East Village. You're going to love it.
And I don't know that I've ever got any specifically superstore sushi, but I do think that in general, grocery store sushi, like there are several things. I think that boxed pizza from like frozen pizzas.
Yeah,
have gotten a lot better over the last 10 years.
Sure, okay, I'll buy in.
That used to be terrible. And I think grocery store sushi, you can get by on lunch right now, and you're gonna be happy. So if I was out on the golf course, I'm sorry, I'm not with you on this one. I'm not going down this path. I'm okay with a little bit of a nice sushi break. We don't always have to agree.
Listen.
It doesn't need to be meat and potatoes, Mr. Americana, Matty Rose here when you're on the golf course.
Americano, as I drink like my very not Americano coffee whatsoever. So that was the golf tournament. Lots of good drinks, lots of good snacks. I went for the pizza. My cart mate grabbed a little bit of sushi. Had a great group of season ticket holders that were hanging out at the event. So I guess this is some part of being a season ticket holder is you can add on a spot in the golf tournament. So we had the whole group out, Craig, and Don, and Jason, and Josh.
Like that you were all one syllable.
Oh, man, names. I'm forgetting someone's name, and I feel really bad about it. That's too bad. But we had a really good group. We went out, had great food. So just wanted to say good job, Calgary Flames.
Great food and sushi.
Yeah, apparently. And I highly recommend that if you can, try and make it out to the next year's event because it was a lot of fun.
I had to leave right after we did the show because I was going to the St. Peter. So can't contribute much about
that. No, that's fair.
Beyond, it was really positive vibes. The breakfast was good. Everyone was
raised some money.
Super excited.
I think the live auction raised like over $80,000. So a hat tip there.
Yep.
And we move on. How was Stampeder's practice? A closed practice. So, you know, you get to go and talk to Dave and say hello. And
yeah.
And then he tells you some things. And
I don't want to spoil the morning report.
Oh.
I will say Tuesday's practice, which we were at. Both receiver Trey Odoms Dukes and kicker Renee Paradise did not participate. And
yeah.
I think, you know, around the Stampeders community, there was a little bit of concern about that. But
Especially
with Paredes. And Dickinson had told us after practice, hey, guys, don't worry. I'm expecting both of them to play. Mm-hmm. And what we saw in the injury report yesterday was that both were full participants. So absolutely nothing to worry about. We can all chill out.
What else did you get up to yesterday?
Beyond that, Jean Lefebvre. Asked me what Muppet reference we made because we made a Swedish chef reference. Swedish chef.
What was
we had Beaker in the morning report yesterday.
Yeah, we had Beaker in the morning report because the Jays beat the tar out of Beaks. So we had Beaker in the morning report yesterday.
Good. Well, if we just want to slip in a Muppet reference on every episode, I think we'd make Jean Lefebvre very happy. And we are about, you know, we are about tailoring the show to individual listeners.
Oh, yeah, for sure. Yeah. Like, I love when people text me personally and ask for things on the show, and I'm almost always will do it.
I believe you.
Yeah, I'm not even lying.
No,
like,
I
will.
You've got your, like, your lying voice on, but, like, I actually believe you that that's true.
Yeah. Empty right now. Just this one text that Danny told me he was running late. Why were you late? What did you get up to yesterday?
I very briefly met an old friend in a park and caught up and was home by 9.
One of these parks you can booze in?
We did not booze last night. I am, as someone who is making the adjustment towards very, 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 very early morning wake-ups, I kind of need to leave booze out of the midweek thing right now because you're used to it. You know how to power through those early morning wake-ups to get here, get the job done.
Yeah.
I'm great about 15 minutes after I'm up. I have a coffee. I'm ready to go. But that initial alarm going off is still, like, existential pain for me.
The key is you have to be home by 9.
And
you
I
have
was
to
in
be
bed,
in bed by 9:30.
That's, I am.
And you got to have a big glass of water before bed.
Yep.
And then when you have to get up in the middle of the night, you have another big glass of water. And then you come in and you drink as much coffee as you can.
Yeah. And then just crash. Before St. Peter's practice.
Oh, it's going to be meteoric,
yes.
My crash, as soon as the show is done.
But no, I largely had to do my actual job, which again is working for the newspapers for the Sun and the Herald. So that was my afternoon. I did a salad for dinner, which is not something I normally do.
A salad?
I know, but I...
Did it have any protein, or did you just go straight herbivore?
So to be fair, lunch I was so tired that I went to Marcello's in the Plus 15. And just got some of their Marcello's. I don't
Mercados?
Know.
Mercados?
Mercados, maybe that's what it's called.
Mercado?
Mercados. And I just got their buffet, and that was heavy on protein. To be honest with you, I thought I had an extra chicken breast in the freezer. It did not.
Oh, and big L.
I know. So I just kind of went with the big salad. I'm feeling fine. I don't know. I don't know what repercussions it has for later in the day, but for now, I'm all right.
We're going to have to get a little protein in you some point today.
Well, you know, we both know before that in commercial breaks, I can sneak out and just...
There's a nice little buffet. It's only a hop, skip, and a jump away.
Yeah.
Pretty good.
But, yeah, so I will be honest. I mean, I beyond sitting in the park, I had a glass of wine in the park.
Good for you.
but it was nice.
We didn't have a bottle of wine.
No, no. Glass of wine. Sat on a blanket. It was all very nice.
Jay's got the win, too.
Ooh.
That was nice. Yesterday.
Beginning to think they are who we thought they were. They're looking good these days.
What did we think that they were?
I think coming into the season, we thought they were going to be, you know, a legitimate juggernaut powerhouse. And then mm-hmm. it really didn't, first couple months of the season, look that way. And I think they're rounding into form. I don't think there is a team in all of baseball that wants to see them in the playoffs right now.
No, I think that's probably quite fair. And I would also argue, as we're less than 3 weeks away from the end of the regular season, that the playoff picture is starting to take a little bit more form. Like, we were in some tight races for a while, kind of in August there. In September, there's started to see a little bit of distance. Like, if you're looking at the Orioles right now, they've started to drop out a little bit of the wild card race. They're now 4 games back. If you look at the Central Division, where there was a little bit of a race for a while, Cleveland and the Chicago White Sox. The White Sox now 4 games back, Cleveland, for that division lead. They do play 1 game today. It's a makeup game. It's not really a series. But, you know, 4 games, 5 games, you're looking at a pretty tough hill to climb here, especially if you don't have a whole lot of games against your opponent. And, you know, in that type of situation, now you need someone to lose. And yes, we've seen teams go through incredible slumps, a la the Yankees. But at this time of the year, I think it'd be harder to see it.
I think we have a pretty good idea of who the playoff teams are now. I mean, this is something I'm going to ask John Gibbons, who I believe we have on in the 7 o'clock hour.
We sure do today. Gibby's back.
But it does. It looks like we know what the AL playoff picture is going to look like. So I'm curious who Gibbons would pick if he was the...
His rotation or his opponent?
His opponent.
Mm.
You know, I mean, they're laying a bit of a beating on the Rays, so I'm not sure that's the worst choice I've ever heard.
But I don't know if... But then you...
I don't want to be... I mean...
The thing is, if you're playing Tampa, it better be in Toronto.
Yes.
Because that's the other key about these wild card series, is the higher seed gets to host all 3 games. They're not going back and forth. So whoever the higher seed is, you get home for the entire wild card kind of series that begin in 3 weeks.
So, I mean, I wouldn't want to be out in Seattle right now, too, because as we talked about earlier this week with Adnan, that Seattle crowd seems...
That'd be interesting, too, because you'd get, I'm sure, some Jays fans in there. Because Seattle's the one that, you know, Jays fans always used to travel. But then the Mariners, you know, what is it, 21 years they haven't been in the postseason? Is that the number, Patty?
Yeah, 2001.
Well, as you know, I mean, there's nothing better than when your team has gone through a long drought and all of a sudden looks like a contender. I mean, it happened with the Jays in 2015.
With the Flames in 2004. It's one of the main reasons I'm here.
Fair enough. Yes. So I wouldn't necessarily want to go be playing in front of that crowd because I think that would be an incredible atmosphere. But I'm interested to hear what Gibby has to say about it. But ultimately,
and his rotation. That's what I'm intrigued to see what he would go with. Because yesterday you have another good outing from Ross Stripling, and he's really looking like he's probably going to be that third guy.
Mm-hmm.
Barrios has had a couple of decent outings lately, but I think that's probably the way that John Gibbons would lean. And I also know he has been just loving this run from Bo Bichette.
Of course.
Because, I don't know, it's something about Gibby, man. Like, the guys that are his guys, like, they're like family. And I love that about him. And he will go to bat for these guys in a heartbeat. Even if sometimes it might not even be correct. He'll do it anyways. And I love that about John Gibbons. Yeah. He is going to join us just after 7 o'clock. So we got that coming up. Andy Strickland, the St. Louis Blues ringside reporter, also from the Cam and Strick podcast with Cam Jansen, a bit of an NHL insider, and of course covers the Blues. Jordan Kyrou signing an extension with the Blues back on Tuesday. We were at the golf tournament, so we didn't really have a chance to dive in yesterday, so we're going to dive into that just a little bit later, about 48 hours after that broke, and then we're going to do another one of our Thursday previews tonight. The NFL returns for week 2, and oh my goodness, what a tilt.
Man.
Chiefs, Chargers. last week, the Chiefs were outstanding. Mahomes threw 5 touchdowns. He looked like vintage Patrick Mahomes.
They beat the bricks off the Cardinals.
Yeah, it wasn't necessarily close. And
44-21. I mean, it was.
I wasn't excited to see that because I kind of like the Cardinals, but I also have a lot of worry about what's going to happen with them this season. And then you have the Chargers, who Justin Herbert trying to kind of take the torch from Patty Mahomes. That division is going to be so much fun to follow. The Chargers got a huge divisional win against the Raiders last week in week 1, a 5-point victory. Raiders pushed late and kind of made the score a little bit closer than it actually seemed. But you're looking at 2 teams here. Now, obviously, the Chargers didn't put up nearly the same amount of points as the Chiefs did. But I got a lot of intrigue for this game. Well, and it's in Kansas City.
And there's just a possibility that the Cardinals are not that good. And you know,
yeah,
that's a fun
and then
thing
what
about,
happens or, to Kyler Murray yeah. because he just signed that new deal.
Fun thing with the NFL is always, you know, we draw conclusions after week 1, and it turns out it was a matchup thing and what have you. So I am super intrigued because, honestly, I mean, I think Khalil Mack was absolutely outstanding in week 1 for the Chargers. So, you know, I don't think Mahomes is going to be having a ton of time.
Sure.
Despite his improved O-line. I mean, we're going to talk about all this later. But, again, I can't believe that this is the Thursday night matchup.
And like, you're excited for some of the Canadians on this Chargers team.
I am. Well, I mean, not just Canadians. Calgarians, man. I mean, we got Dean Leonard, defensive back, and Eamon Ogbonbamiga. They both went to Notre Dame in Calgary. Like, it is...
Notre Dame, like, out east.
No, like, literally Notre Dame High School in Calgary. Like, it's one of those things that you say, and, you know, certainly if you pay any attention to football in Calgary, you know that. But like Canadians playing in the CFL is so rare. 2 Canadians who went to the same high school. I mean, it can't have ever happened playing on the same NFL team. It really is amazing. It's something to, like, I don't know how you write the story because it's been written a dozen times by a dozen different people, including myself. But if people don't realize that, like, that's really odd. It's incredible. It says a lot about high school football in this city.
And the other Canadian there is Joshua Palmer as well.
Exactly.
Yep. Another receiver who's probably going to get a little bit more work this week with Keenan Allen expected to miss some time with a hamstring injury. But we are going to get into it with a couple of beat writers covering these 2 teams. Blair Kirkhoff covers the Kansas City Chiefs. He's going to join us. And then Joe Reedy, who covers the Chargers, is also going to join the program. Those will be just after 8 o'clock. That'll get us into what you want to talk about. We got a big day on the radio station today. Blair and Barker will come up at 9 o'clock. Sportsnet today with Logan Gordon is going to go at noon. And then at 1, it's going to be the Jays and the Rays closing out this series. Shane McClanahan going to go for the Rays. And for the Jays, I think we're getting Kevin Gausman, if I'm not mistaken, for this one this evening. So very much looking forward to that tilt, too. So there's going to be a couple of fun things on the... on the tube over the course of the day.
Flamestalk, too. We just not throw into Flamestalk?
Well, Flamestalk's after.
Okay.
Flamestalk comes up at 4 after the Blue Jays game. And then you got Steinberg and Logo doing that. And also, tomorrow on the station, Brody's wrote a little note here, a little tease. We'll have the Young Stars tournament right on the radio.
It's the good stuff.
The Young Stars tomorrow are going to be taking on the Vancouver Canucks as they get going in Penticton. We talked about it a little bit with Jordan Sigalette yesterday, how Dustin Wolf, the AHL goaltender of the year, is going to be going to Penticton, doing the little Young Stars. It'll be his first time because they canceled the tournament, and then they had the pandemic, and yada, yada, yada. The tournament's back. Bunch of prospects there. Peltier, Zeri, Schwint. Schwint.
When you Schwint. Have your watch party for uh-huh. the Young Stars party tomorrow night.
It's not a watch party. It's just dinner, and I'm putting it on in the background, and I'm watching it. I don't care what
anybody
else does.
Are you going to have the radio station call on, like turn your radio on, have that playing while?
No. Okay. It's too much work.
Yeah.
I've tried to do it before, and frankly, not worth the time.
I think you should live stream your watch party. Honestly, you should live stream your watch party.
Cut it out. And I don't know. I don't want people to see that. I'm interested to see who's going to be doing play-by-play. Like, is it Pat doing play-by-play, like, on a television? I don't think so. He's probably hosting the game.
Well, I don't know.
Brody, what does this mean?
If you don't know, I don't know.
Game? We don't know. Not our guys. but we will we'll have the game for you. And you can also watch it on the Flames website. So that's what we do know. Derek did a great job as the MC yesterday at the event as well.
That doesn't surprise me at all.
God, he's so good at that. Unbelievable.
He looked great yesterday, honestly. Yeah. Great fit.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah. Well, that guy knows what he's doing around the course. Mm-hmm. I'll tell you that for free. I think he went long drive. Also, Lisa Longball won long drive for the women. Lisa. We'll take a break. Morning Report coming at you next. You're listening to The Big Show. This is Sportsnet 960 The Fan. Listen, we have a Morning Report to get into because there is some stuff to tell you guys about. Here we go. The Morning Report, it's brought to you by Motorworks, exceeding all expectations. BMW repairs and service in a state-of-the-art facility where they'll meet and beat all competitors' quotes on 51st Ave and 3rd Street Southeast.
Marty Rose.
Matt Rose.
Matt Rose.
Play ball.
So much to get to. The Jays in this series with the Rays. Some other action around the American League wildcard race. And a pretty cool situation happening out in the National League that we will get to as well. We got Thursday Night Football. Not a great story coming out of the NBA as well. We'll get to all of it here in your Morning Report. Jays had a chance to win their 5-game set against the Rays in Game 4 in Toronto on Wednesday. Ross Stripling on the bump facing Drew Rasmussen. The Jays got to Rasmussen early, and we've been waiting a long time for this particular home run.
The 0-1. Swinging a high fly ball. Deep left field. You can... forget it! Oh, my! Number 100 for Vladimir Guerrero Jr. A majestic home run for Vladdy. His late season drought is over, and the Blue Jays have a 1-0 lead. Deep left field. You can... forget it!
Yeah! I love that.
Vladimir
Guerrero Jr. hits his 100th career home run, 28th of the season. It's his first home run since August the 30th, so almost 3 weeks, which is a long time for Vladdy to go without going yard. At 23 years and 182 days old, he becomes the third youngest player to hit 100 home runs in the American League all time, trailing only A-Rod and Tony Conigliaro. Pretty tidy work by Strips early in the game as well. Jays rolled the lineup over for a second time in the third inning. Vladdy back to the plate, this time with the bases loaded.
Bases loaded, the 1-2. Ground ball in the middle of the diamond. Walls, the shortstop's got it. Goes to second for one. Turn to first, not in time. Espinal scores.
Bo Bichette would single after Vladdy to score Jackie Bradley Jr. That extended Toronto's lead to 3-0. And then in the fourth...
1-0. Pulled towards the shortstop. Out of the reach of Walls. Pass Diaz. Trickling through the infield dirt. Easy run for the Blue Jays to pick up. Jansen is in from third. With the infield drawn in, Walls went reaching to his right. Diaz ranging to his left. Couldn't react quickly enough to get it clean. It slips through, and the Blue Jays extend the lead 4-0.
Just chipping away, kind of beating the Rays at their own game, the small ball, minus Vlad's home run, of course. It was a bunch of small ball to get the bases loaded. Then Vladdy singled. It was an Espinal single. Then in the sixth, another single that scores a run. This time it's off reliever Josh Fleming.
Here's Raimel Tapia. First pitch rolled right back up the middle. Base hit into center field. Jansen's being waved to the plate. There will be no throw. RBI single for Raimel Tapia. A two-out rally from Jansen with a double. Tapia right back up the middle. 5-0 Toronto.
Whew, feeling pretty good at that point. 5-0 lead right on. We would get one more run coming late, this one from the Rays.
First pitch to Harold Ramirez is drilled out to deep left field and out of here in no time flat. Harold Ramirez smokes his sixth of the season to start the seventh inning. That's just the third hit allowed by Ross Stripling tonight, and it produces the Rays' first run.
That was the first pitch of the seventh inning. Ross Stripling comes out, gives up the home run as Ramirez stings that one. Strips would get one out before it was pulled for Adam Simber, who would complete the seventh. Jimmy Garcia would come in for the eighth inning, allowed a couple of singles before he struck out three straight batters to get out of trouble. Anthony Bass came in for the ninth with a big lead, saving Jordan Romano for the finale later today, later Thursday. 5-1 ended up being the final score. That's a big win for the Jays because now they win the series. And obviously you want to take 4 or 5 and win today, but you beat the Rays in a season series.
I mean, we talked about this before the series got going. This is a really, really, really big one for the Jays. And again, as you said, winning the series puts them in the position where they, you know, they're in the driver's seat in this wild card race and win today. And I mean, man,
you feel pretty good.
You're feeling pretty good. So, you know, you got to win the games you got to win. And this was one of those.
A game and a half up on Tampa Bay. And the Jays currently in that first wild card spot, which means home games in the playoffs. Let's move on to some of the other action from around the AL wildcard positioning. The Mariners, also very much in this race. They were closing out their two-game mini set with the Padres. Mike Clevinger for San Diego and trade deadline acquisition. Luis Castillo for Seattle. Castillo cruised through the top of the order. Clevinger, not so much.
Julio on the first pitch. A deep fly. Spinning pro far back. First pitch. See you later. Still nobody out, and that'll bring up third baseman A. Eugenio Suarez. Gino, a high fly. Right center. It continues to carry back. It continues.
Couple of home runs in the first, the 26th for Julio Rodriguez and the 31st for Eugenio Suarez. Carlos Santana would hit a third in the bottom of the fifth as the Mariners would beat the Padres 6-1. Orioles and Washington to close out their little set with the MLB worst Nationals. The Nats actually led after Luke Voit hit his 20th home run of the season in the bottom of the fourth. That gave Washington a 2-1 lead, and that held until the seventh inning. Exciting young rookie Gunnar Henderson of the Orioles coming to the plate. Already had an RBI ground out in the game, but this was something else.
Gunnar Henderson, the batter, who drills one fair inside the third base bag. Vavra's in to tie the game. Mullins racing around for the lead. Henderson on his way to third. He's going to come all the way home. Hernandez never picked it up. Gunnar Henderson has scored. An extra base hit of the Orioles.
In the National League, the Cardinals were taking on the Brewers. Of course, that for Gunnar Henderson. Great boots. Jorge Mateo would hit a home run shortly after. That extended Baltimore's lead to 5-2. They would end the contest by a 6-2 score. So the Jays are in the first wild card position. They're a half game up on the Mariners and a game and a half up on the Rays. Baltimore now 4 games back of a wild card spot. And Toronto still 6 games back of the Yankees after they beat Boston 5-3. Elsewhere, we did see Cleveland beat the LA Angels by a 5-3 score. They keep their hold on the AL Central. It helped that the White Sox got shut out by the Rockies 3-0. The Sox now 4 games back of the Guardians, while the Twins are 5 games back in that AL Central division, so it's Cleveland's division to lose at this point. We'll shift to the National League, where the Cardinals were taking on the Brewers. The top two teams in the NL Central, although St. Louis does hold an 8-game lead on Milwaukee. Still, the Brewers are knocking on a playoff position via wild card. Yesterday, a cool night for the Cardinals franchise's starting pitcher Adam Wainwright and catcher Yadier Molina set a new MLB record for the most starts for a battery, their 325th start together as battery mates, passing Mickey Lolich and Billy Freehan. Sometimes these stories write themselves. How about Yadier Molina with the RBI single to make it a 2-1 game, the game-winning run in a 4-1 final for Wainwright's 11th win of the season. 325 starts together. That is 2 entire seasons playing every day, pitcher and catcher. Like, these guys are old, but that is a lot.
Yeah, it's unimaginably a lot.
That's never going to be beat.
I hope they're best friends.
I think they are.
Yeah.
They have these nice Budweiser cans. They say best Bud on them, and one of them has Yachty, and one of them has Wainwright.
It's amazing. We should get Danny and Maddie.
You want to get best Bud beers?
I do. I think it would be a cute little, you know, just way to honor our friendship.
You coming to the watch party? We can discuss it at the watch party.
Not that good friendship.
It came up on the text line. Someone said they're coming. Who's coming to the text line? More the merrier. Pile them in. Action to keep an eye on today. White Sox and Guardians play a single makeup game in Cleveland, 11:10 this morning. Then at 107, the Jays and Rays wrap their series. Tough pitching matchup for this one. Shane McClanahan will battle against Kevin Gausman. We'll carry this for you on Sportsnet 960. It'll be on Sportsnet West as well. And we'll discuss the Jays with our boy, former manager John Gibbons, just after the top of the hour. Wanted to move over to the NFL now as the NFL gets going with the Chargers in Kansas City to face the Chiefs. The Chiefs beating the Cardinals 44-21 in week one. Chargers also got a win 24-19 over the Raiders. Some things to keep an eye on for this one. Chargers wide receivers Mike Williams and Canadian Josh Palmer have added importance with the injury to Keenan Allen. And on the other side, you always got to be wary of this guy, Travis Kelce, the tight end. 121 yards last week against Arizona, 30th time that he's eclipsed the century mark in receiving in his career. Just needs three more to pass Rob Gronkowski and two more to pass Tony Gonzalez for the most among tight ends. Patrick Mahomes is going up against this Chargers secondary. They picked Derek Carr off three times last week, while Mahomes had five touchdowns and 360 yards with zero picks. So that's going to be a fun matchup to watch. Justin Herbert also going to go up against LA, or pardon me, LA was the not Las Vegas is where the Raiders play. Get it together, Matt. So Herbert's game against the Raiders was the ninth game of his career where he had at least three touchdowns and zero interceptions, which is tied with Mahomes for the most through three seasons. We'll see if he can keep that going against the Chiefs tonight. No kicker for the Chiefs. Harrison Butker is out. They had, I believe it was their safety, Reed, kicking PATs for them in week one.
That'll be Matt Amendola kicking balls tonight for the Chiefs.
Mm.
No related to Danny. No relation to Danny
Amendola. Oh, okay, good to know. Dre Smith, the guard, not going to play for the Chiefs. And Trent McDuffie on the IR with a hamstring injury. So that's a blow to the secondary for the Chargers. No J.C. Jackson. Well, he's questionable tonight. Keenan Allen is out, though, with that hamstring issue that he suffered in week one. The Chiefs a favorite in this one, a four-point favorite, and look at the total. High as it could be, 54.5. Sign me up.
Man, I love a heavyweight matchup on a Thursday night.
We've had some good primetime games so far. Keep it going, lads. Let's go.
Debut of Amazon Prime's coverage of Thursday night football.
I have Amazon Prime. I get to watch the game. Hooray.
I think it'll be on the other three-letter network.
Oh.
Yeah, either way.
Right on. I guess. From the CFL, yesterday was a closed practice, but we did get an injury report. Pretty good news. Javian Elliott, defensive back, upgraded from limited to full. Like we had expected, receiver Trey Odoms-Dukes and kicker Renee Parrott is back on the field, listed as full participants. But some bad news for Brandon Dozier, who was not on the report Tuesday, but he must have tweaked his hamstring because on Wednesday he did show up with a limited tag. What are you watching for in practice today, Danny? Because that was a closed session.
That Dozier bit is pretty huge here. I mean, Brandon Dozier has had three separate injuries on the same hamstring, apparently sort of unrelated this season, but such a big part of what the Stampeders do both on defense and special teams. So knowing that you know, we've got Paredes and Odoms-Dukes sort of ready to go, that matters. But it's Javian Elliott, who we haven't seen since training camp, really, and Brandon Dozier. I mean, those are two big pieces on the defensive backfield.
Javian Elliott's an interesting one, and I'm also intrigued to see if Sean McEwen does finally make his return this week.
I'm pretty confident Sean McEwen's back. I spoke to him on Tuesday, and I think it's been a fairly straightforward recovery from a high ankle sprain, and I think he's good to go. But Javian Elliott, you know, when I spoke with John Huffnagle at free agency, and I asked him what the plan for the defensive backfield was, he specifically named Javian Elliott as a guy who he expected to be a starter and take that step. Groin injuries
kept him in a linebacker position.
I don't know if it's going to be there. I mean, to be honest, we haven't seen him.
He
had a groin injury that has really hampered him, and he's not been able to play yet. So, truthfully, I do not know, but could be a big piece. And if him and Dozier are back, suddenly a very banged up defensive backfield begins to take shape the way, you know, the Stamps might want it to, just a little bit more.
Saturday's contest is a celebration of the partnership between the Stamps and the University of Calgary. It's the day of the Dino, so it would make sense that former Dino, Sean McEwen, would return in this game. It includes special game ticket pricing for U of C students, faculty, and alumni, and proceeds from the 50-50 benefit Dino's athletics and Dino's student athletes. Going to be participating in all sorts of stuff as the game goes on. Ticket sales for the 50-50 draw are already underway, so you can jump in on that right now. They got the fun zone in the East parking lot. It's going to be a real fun game here Saturday against the BC Lions as the Stamps look to try and take over second in the Western Division. Some not-so-pleasant news out of the NBA. The NBA released their findings on an investigation into Phoenix Suns managing partner Robert Sarver and slapped him with a punishment. The investigation found that Sarver had made racial comments, inappropriate and sexual advances towards female employees, demeaned his employees by yelling and swearing and creating a toxic work environment. Sarver's been suspended for 1 year. He has to complete a training program on respect and conduct in the workplace and be fined the maximum allowable $10 million. The organization must follow some more stringent rules that the NBA said they would monitor. The commissioner, Adam Silver, spoke to the media recently. He was asked a very good question by Howard Beck of Sports Illustrated.
I think everybody in this room would agree that if any of us had said or done even a small percentage of the things that Robert Sarver has been shown to have said and done, we would be fired. And I assume that anybody working at Olympic Tower, if they had done even a percentage of that, would be fired. And anybody who worked for any of your 30 teams would easily be fired. Why would there be a different standard? And understanding the complications of removing an owner, why should there be a different standard for the owner of an NBA team than there would be for everybody who works in this league?
Fair question. I don't want to say you alluded to it, Howard, that there are particular rights here of someone who owns an NBA team as opposed to somebody who's an employee. The equivalent of a $10 million fine and a 1 year suspension, I don't know how to measure that against a job, but I have certain authority by virtue of this organization, and that's what I exercised. I don't have the right to take away his team. I don't want to rest on that neat legal point because, of course, there could be a process to take away someone's team in this league. It's very involved, and I ultimately made the decision that it didn't rise to that level. But to me, the consequences are severe here on Mr. Sarver.
That's a fumble for sure. Didn't love that, especially because $10 million is kind of a drop in a bucket for a guy that quick Google search found his net worth to be somewhere between $450 and $800 million. And 1 year away from the team, it's not a lot. LeBron James had some critical tweets of the punishment, saying there's no place for misogyny, sexism, and racism in any workplace. We hold our league up as an example of our values, and this ain't it.
And when LeBron James speaks, people listen. So I think that's a really, really important moment in all of this. But any of us, I mean, I the NBA is my favorite sports league. I'm obsessed with it, and I'm just incredibly disappointed here. I mean, this is misogyny. This is racism. This is honestly like denigrating comments towards women. This is repeatedly using the N-word. Look, I don't know if you can take the team apart or take the team away from him, but
is this not a similar situation to Donald Sterling and the Clippers?
Yeah, and I mean, I think that there's a real question about people felt that there was a precedent set with Donald Sterling, and then you look back and, you know, there's reports that people had known for 30 years what type of guy Donald Sterling was, and it took actually catching him on tape making those comments for them to actually take sort of bold action against him, and it's like, oh, well, is the only difference here that this wasn't caught on tape? I don't know, but it's really disappointing from the league. And, you know, you do want safe work environments for women, for people of color, for black people specifically. And it's wild that this is all that they did.
That clip is, oof, not good.
Can't believe you said it. I honestly, like, for a guy who's generally pretty media savvy, and Adam Silver has been called the best commissioner in sports many times, for him to just come out and basically say, hey, there's a different standard for...
Well, he's got a lot of money, so it's a little different.
I think we're learning that lesson.
Anyways, a couple other things I wanted to touch on really quickly before we get out of the way here. New PGA Tour begins today. It's literally only been 2 weeks since it ended because they're doing like a wraparound schedule. This is the last year that they're going to do it, and then it's going to have an actual break. But it's the Fortinet Championship. It's down in Napa. It's going to be beautiful scene. It's going to be very scenic, beautiful scenes. Canadian Corey Connors is actually one of the betting favorites alongside Hideki Matsuyama and Max Homa, who was last year's winner. Fellow Canuck Taylor Pendrith, also a notable in the field. Connors will tee off at 8:44 today. Pendrith just after 9 o'clock in the morning. Martin Gligich, Mackenzie Hughes, Nick Taylor, and Adam Svensson make up the rest of the Canadian contingent. And the President's Cup is next week. The U.S. against the world. World heavy underdogs, but they'll feature both Connors and Pendrith on the squad this year. On the LPGA, the Amazing Cree Portland Classic Round 1 is today. You got three Canadians in the field as their season nears its end. Matty Zarek, Elaine Sharp, and of course, Brooke Henderson. That's pretty much it. I don't have much more for you, dude.
Man, I think you hit it all. Great morning report. Every day, you get better and better.
Just 10% better every day.
Yeah.
That's it.
And good night and good luck to you, sir.
That's the morning report brought to you by Motorworks exceeding all expectations. BMW repairs and service in a state-of-the-art facility where they'll meet and beat all competitors' quotes on 51st Ave and 3rd Street Southeast. I'm excited to talk to Gibby.
I can't wait.
Like, I know you said earlier in the week, I kind of offhand, I said that you were, I can't remember, lukewarm on baseball. And
flatly rejected that characterization.
Yeah, that's fair. What type of a Jays fan were you during the tenure of John Gibbons?
I mean, particularly, I've lived in Alberta since 2010. So, you know, there's a bit of a line in the sand there. But I effectively lived, I would say, 15 minutes from the Sky Dome growing up. So John Gibbons' first tenure happens to coincide when I was basically 20 through 24.
Had access, a bingo range.
It's a pretty bingo range. So, I mean, Carlos Delgado and Doc Halliday are probably my favorite Jays, and they sort of coincided. Delgado, I think, was only there for a year with Gibbons. But, I mean, those are some of my favorite teams. I was at opening day every year. I probably had those were my first summer jobs those summers. So I'd come back, and honestly, 3 days a week, if I could, I'd be at Jays games. So he's an icon to me, man.
Well, here's the deal. We're going to interview John Gibbons. We're going to ask him about the Blue Jays and the weekend that was and how they're going to wrap this series up with Tampa and some look towards the postseason. But also, I want you to maybe come up with a John Gibbons memory and see if you can ask him about it.
All right.
We'll do that around the corner. You're listening to The Big Show. This is Sportsnet 960 The Fan.